We continue Bezrat Hashem in our Limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are on Daf Kafchet Amud Aleph, five lines from the top, at the end of the line, Iba Yalehu. This Limud is Leilu Nishmat Shlomo ben Jamila, Baruch ben Shlomo, Shlomo ben Reuven, Erez ben Miriam, Shaul ben Latife, Yom Tov ben Chana, Naim ben Chatun, Leilu Nishmat Ladisya bat Yakot, Sulika bat Chana, Esther bat Ladisya, Et Rivka bat Mordechai, Rivka bat Devorah, Eva Shlomit bat Ilana Esther, Chaya Esther, Chava bat Sarah, and Luba bat Mazal, Alehem HaShalom. Also Lizchut, Refuah Shelema, for Elisheva bat Neta, Gabriela Masuda bat Sarah, and Chana bat Sulika. The Gemara is in midst of discussing the halacha that once a Kohen divorces his wife, and as we know they are not allowed to marry again, a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Gerusha, so the halacha is, as we see on the top line, imaya kohen lo tadur imo b'mavoi, that they are not allowed to live in the same vicinity, in the same neighborhood, on the same block. And so the Gemara now is discussing, Iba Yalehu, the Gemara has a question, Haita chatzer shel shenehem mahu? If let's say the chatzer, the courtyard, belonged to both of them, because it's stated in the Braita before, we saw that he nitchet mipana ve'en hu nitchet mipaneha. It is she who has to move, and he stays in his house. V'imayta chatzer shela, but if the courtyard was hers, hu nitchet mipaneha, then he has to move, and she stays in her house, in her chatzer. Iba Yalehu, so the question here is, if let's say the chatzer belonged to both of them, so who has to move? Tashema, the Gemara says, come in here. It states in the Braita that we just learned, he nitchet mipanav. She is the one who has to move. Now, b'maskinan, what is the Braita talking about? In which case? Ilema bechatzer shelo, if we're talking about where the chatzer belongs to the husband, pshita, then it's obvious. Then she is the one who has to move. Why do we need the Braita to tell us that? Ve'ela bechatzer shela. Maybe you'll say it's talking about a case where the chatzer belongs to her. But that can be. Ve'atanya imayta chatzer shela hu nitchem mipanea. It states if it's hers, then he has to move, not her. So what does it mean when it says in the Braita, he nitchet mipanav? Ela lav ki'ay gavna? So shouldn't we say that it's talking about such a case when it belongs to both of them, then she is the one who is nitchet, she has to move? The Gemara says there's no proof from that. Dilma de agir mega. Maybe we're talking about, maybe in that case where it says, he nitchet mipanav, it doesn't mean that it belongs to both of them. Maybe we're talking about a case where the chatzer is rented out to both of them. If the chatzer would belong to both of them, it could be she would still not be obligated to be the one who leaves. Maybe the Braita is talking about in a case where it is rented by both of them. So therefore, there's no proof. Mai haveala. So the Gemara says, okay, so bottom line, what is the answer, halachic answer to the question? If the chatzer is owned by both equally, who has to move? So the Gemara says, Tashema, come in here. It says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Kavbet, this is a Pasuk that talks about Chorban, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. It says, Hine Hashem metaltelcha, taltela gaver. Behold, Hashem is going to dislocate you, the dislocation of a man. What does that mean? Taltela gaver, the dislocation of a man. The Amara of Rav said, this pasuk indicates to us that tiltula de gavra kashemi de iteta, the dislocation of a man is more difficult for him than the dislocation of a woman is for her. And therefore, the answer is, in the case where they both own the chatzer, she has to be the one who moves. The Gemara continues on in this sugya of this halacha that a kohen has to be far away from the one he divorced. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braita, lava hemena benichse aviha. In a case where the kohen, the husband, borrowed from his wife, from her nichse melug property, the property that she inherited from her father, and she brought into the marriage. And as we know, nichse melug, the husband is allowed to have perot, to eat the fruits of those properties, but the property itself is hers. So let's say the husband borrowed it from his wife, and now he divorced her, so now he owes her, he has to pay back what he borrowed. He has to repay her, but only by the means of another person, through a shaliach, not directly, that the husband should go directly and pay her. Why? Because we have to prevent them from engaging intimately in business dealings, because it might come to a situation of sin. And therefore, yes, he has to pay her, but he has to send a messenger to pay her. Or vice versa, she sends a messenger to collect for her. Amar Rav Sheshet says, Ve'i atu lekaman ledina, if let's say a Kohen and his divorcee come before us to the Bedin for judgment, lo mizdakekinan lehu, we do not attend to them, because by engaging in those dealings, they were in violation of this avera. They're not allowed to come together to din, and therefore, lo mizdakekinan lehu, we don't attend to them. Rav Papa says even more, shamutem eshamtinan lehu, we excommunicate them for violating this halakha of keeping this connection between them and going together to the Bedin. Rav Huna bered Rav Yeshua amar, even more, Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, says, Nagude nami menagdinan lehu, we even punish them with lashes, with malkut. Amar Rav Nachman says, Tana be'avel rabati, we learned in a braita, in Masechet Smachot, which is also called Avel Rabati. Masechet Smachot, you have all the halachot of Avelut. It states there, Bamed devarim amurim, when do we say that she's not allowed to collect the money from him personally? That's only in a case, shenit garsha min anisuim, when they divorced from the full-fledged marriage. Aval keshenit garsha min ha'erusin, if the divorce was not from the Nisuin, it was after Kiddushin, it was after Erusin, they were only engaged, but they never consummated the marriage, and they already got divorced, Nifrat al yedei atzma, she can come and collect on her own, She'en libo gasba, because he's not yet accustomed to her, they don't feel intimate with each other anyway, and therefore there's no concern that it will lead to a avera. The Gemara tells us a story, Ha'u arus va'arusato, there was a case of a Kohen who divorced his arusa, the one who he was engaged to. De'atu lekame de Rava, they came before Rava for judgment. Yativ Rav Ada bar Matna kamei, and Rav Ada bar Matna was sitting before Rava, who was the Dayan. Oke Rava shlucha ben Tayu, Rava appointed a shaliach, a messenger, between them, so that they will not claim things directly one to another. There should be a shaliach, a middleman in between. Amar le Rav Ada bar Matna. So Rav Ada bar Matna asked Rava, why are you doing that? Amar Rav Nachman Tana be'avel rabati. But Rav Nachman quoted to us from Masechet Avel Rabati, where the Gerushin was only from Erusin, then she's allowed to collect on her own. So why over here are you making a shaliach between them in the Din Torah that they came for? Amar le Rava tells Rav Ada bar Matna, you know why? Kachazinan deka gaisi behadadi. Because I see that they are actually very much intimate with each other. They have all kinds of hints and cues between them, and so I see they're closer than a normal couple who is only engaged, and that's why I appointed the shaliach between them. Ika deamri, the Gemara gives us a different version here of the story. Some say lo ukirava shaliach ben tayu. That Rava did, in fact, the opposite. He did not appoint a shaliach, a middleman, between them. Rather, he allowed them to deal with each other directly in the Din Torah. Amar li Rav Ada bar Matna. So, and Rav Ada bar Matna asked Rava, Nekumar shlucha bentayu, why don't you appoint a shaliach between them? Don't they have to keep a distance? Amar li, so Rava told Rav Ada bar Matna, Veha amar Rav Nachman, Tana be'avel rabati. What do you mean? But Rav Nachman quoted Avel Rabati that if the Gerushin was only from the Erusin, then she's allowed to collect on her own, so there's no concern. Amar Le and Rav Ada bar Matna answered Rava, Hani mili, when do we say that you don't need a shaliach between them? Hecha delo gaisi behadadi. That's only when they are not accustomed to each other. They're not intimate with each other. Aval hani, but this couple, even though they were only engaged, kachazina lehudi gaisi behadadi. I see that they are intimate with each other, and therefore they should have a shaliach between them. So there's a difference between the two versions. Was it Rava who said this, that they were exceptionally intimate with each other, or was Rav Ada Bar Matna who picked up on it, and the discussion was in a different way? Okay, the Mishnah begins with the following: Ve'elu ne'emanim lehaid begodlan, ma shera'u bekotnan, and the following edim, witnesses, are ne'eman, are credible, to testify when they are adults regarding that which they saw when they were a katan. Okay, so that's one halakha. Another halakha, ne'eman adam lomar ze ktav yado shel abba. A person, an adult, is credible to say, this signature is the signature of my father, despite the fact that his father died when he was a katan. Ve'ze ktav yado shel rabbi, and this is the signature of my teacher, vezek tav yado shel achi, and this is the signature of my brother. All these he's allowed to testify, even though they passed away when he was a katan. Further, the Mishnah says, zachur hayiti bifloni chiyatzah behinuma verosha parua. A person is credible, is ne'eman to say, I remember of the wedding of so and so, that the kala went out with the hinuma, meaning that she was a betula, and that her hair was uncovered in the wedding, which is also a sign of the fact that this was a wedding with a betula, and therefore her ketubah is 200 dinar, 200 zuz. V'sheaya ish ploni yotze mibet ha-sefer litbol le'echol biturma. Or, another case, a person is ne'eman to say, I remember that so-and-so would leave school to go to the mikveh to immerse himself in order to eat truma. Or, v'shehaya cholek imanu al agoren, and that he would share the truma with us by the threshing floor. And therefore, he's saying that he's a kohen. V'amakom hazeh bet ha-pras. Or, he's also ne'eman to say, I remember that this place is a bet ha-peras. Bet ha-peras is a field with a where there was a grave that was plowed, and by plowing it scattered bones here and there, and it made the entire field as a place of safek tum atamet. That's called bet ha-peras. So a person is ne'eman to say, this place is a bet ha-peras. Ve'ad kan ayinu ba'im b'shabbat. Or another case, he testifies, until here we would walk, we would come on Shabbat, and therefore, till here is the Tchum Shabbat, is the boundary of Shabbat. So till here, the Mishnah gives us all kinds of cases where a person is ne'eman, is believed, when he's a gadol, to testify to something that he remembers when he was a katan. Aval, en adam ne'eman lomar, derech haya li ploni b'makom hazeh. However, a person is not credible to say, so-and-so had the right to have a path in this place. Or, for example, ma'amadu misped hayali ploni b'makom hazeh. I remember that in this place they would perform the hespedim. They would stand and they would deliver the hespedim in that place. And the purpose of testifying for this is to say that that piece of land belongs to him. So in these cases, a person is not ne'eman, he is not believed to say that which he remembers from when he was a katan, a minor, because such testimony cannot help to lehotzi mamon, to take out money from someone, which means to take out land from someone's hand and say, no, it belongs to this person, I remember that he would perform eulogies on this place, or I remember that he had the right to walk in this place. No, a person doesn't have a right when it comes to monetary issues, doesn't have the credibility to testify regarding something that he saw when he was a katan. Amar Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, the Gemara begins, Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua says, "Vehu sheyesh gadol imo." The Mishnah that tells us that a person is credible to testify about the handwriting that he saw when he was a katan, that's only when there is a witness who saw the handwriting as an adult testifying with him. Meaning he cannot be the only edut. You cannot have the edut only of the person who remembers when he was a katan. He can join with someone else who's a gadol and also says that he recognizes that handwriting, and thereby you have two witnesses who testify to the validity of the signature. Now, the question is, why did we need all these different cases in the beginning of the Mishnah? Zektav yado shel Abba, Zektav yado shel Rabbi, and Zektav yado shel Achi. So now the Gemara will explain why we need each one. Utzricha, we need all of them. Diyashmuinan Aviv, because if the Mishnah would only tell us the case that he is Ne'eman, to testify that it was his father's handwriting, so I would say, okay, in that case he's Ne'eman, Mishum Deshchiach Gabe, because he was often found with his father, and he's very familiar with his handwriting. Aval Rabbo lo, but with regard to his teacher's handwriting, no, he shouldn't be Ne'eman. That's why the Mishnah says no, in that case he's also Ne'eman. Ve'yashmoinan Rabbo, and if the Mishnah would only tell us the case of Rabbo, the teacher, Mishum de'itle emata de Rabbe, that's because he's Ne'eman due to the fact that he has a sense of awe from his teacher, and therefore he pays attention to his handwriting. Aval aviv lo, but maybe regarding his father's handwriting, he doesn't have that same level of care to look as a child to see his handwriting and remember it when he's an adult. So I would have thought in that case, no. By his Rebbe, by his teacher, it made an impression on him because he was in awe of his Rebbe. By the father, maybe that's not the case. That's why the Mishnah needs to give us both cases of Zektav Yado Shel Avi and Zektav Yado Shel Rabbi. V'yashmuinan Hanitarti, and if he would only tell us these two, the father and the teacher, well, I would say, Aviv Deshchiach Gabe, the father, the wise Ne'eman, about the signature of his father, because he was always with his father. V'rabbo de'itle emate, and he's Ne'eman regarding the signature of his Rebbe because of the impression that it made on him. He was in awe of his Rebbe. Aval achiv de'itle loha ve'loha, but the brother, you don't have the shchiach gabe factor, and you don't have itle emate factor. Eimalo, I would say in that case he's not credible. Kamash ma'alan, the Mishnah is teaching us a chidush. Kevan de kiyum shtarot midirabanan, hemnuhu rabanan midirabanan. Since to begin with, the whole concept of verifying the documents by the signatures is only required midirabanan, because midoraita, the signatures on the shtar is enough to validate the document. But the necessity to validate the signatures themselves, that's only midrabanan. So therefore, hemnu rabanan midrabanan. The chachamim believe and give him credibility to testify in these cases, even in the case of the signature of his brother. Now the Gemara goes on to the next case brought in the Mishnah, where he says, Zachur ha'iti biplonit she'yatza b'inuma v'rosha parua. He says, I remember the wedding of so-and-so where the kala went out with a hinuma, or her hair was uncovered. Mai tama, so what's the reason why he's ne'eman to say that? Kevan de rov nashim betulot nis'ot gilui milta be'almahu. Since after all, there is a rov, there is a majority. Most women are married as betulot, so therefore her chazaka, her presumptive status, is that of a betula, even without his edut. So therefore, his testimony regarding what he saw as a katan is just a gilui milta be'alma. It's just revealing a matter that we already presume to be true, that she's a betula. So it's not an actual testimony. That's the reason why he's ne'eman. The Mishnah went on and said, "V'shehaya ish ploni yotze mibet ha'sefer litbo le'echol bitruma." He's ne'eman to say, I remember that so-and-so would leave Bet Sefer, he would leave school to go to the mikveh in order to eat Toma, and therefore he's saying that he's a Kohen. He's testifying about someone that he's a Kohen based on something that he saw when he was a child. So the Gemara asks, why is he Ne'eman? V'dilma Eved Kohen hu? Maybe he's an Eved of the Kohen, who's also allowed to eat Toma. So how do we know he's a Kohen? How do we, based on the words of this person who remembers something when he was a Katan, do we say that this person, therefore, is a Kohen? How do you know? Maybe he's an Eved of a Kohen, and that's why he went to the mikveh to be able to eat Tumah. Mesayeh aleh l'Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So the Gemara says, this Mishnah is a support for the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Da'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, asur le'adam she'ilemed et avdo Torah. A person is not allowed to teach his Eved Kenani, his slave, Torah. So therefore, since the testimony of this adult was that he remembers that when he was in Bet HaSefer, he would come home and he would go to the mikveh, so apparently he's not an Eved, because the Eved would not go to Bet HaSefer to learn Torah. So the fact that he ate Tumah indicates that he himself is a Kohen and not an Eved. Asks the Gemara, velo, and a person is not allowed to teach his slave Torah. Vehatanya, but did we not learn in a braita? Lava hemenu rabo. Let's say a master borrowed from his slave. Oshe asao rabo apotropos. Or his master made him a steward, an apotropos, who is in charge over his property, an administrator over his property. Or if the Eved wore tefillin in front of his master. Or that the Eved read three psukim from the Torah in his aliyah in the Bet HaKnesset. He does not necessarily come out to freedom. He's not liberated by these acts. What do we see from here? That there are slaves who learn Torah to the extent that they're able to read three psukim of their aliyah in the Sefer Torah. And that's something that they could have learned in the Bet Sefer. So what do you mean? So how do you say that, no, it cannot be an Eved because of Bet Sefer? We see from this Braita, but that is a possibility. Or else how could you have a scenario that Karash Losha Psukim Bebet HaKnesset? That can only be after he learned Torah. And could be he learned it in Bet HaSefer. The Gemara answers, there's no proof from this braita. Hatam de ikri eved midato. Over there, it's possible to say that he taught himself to read the Torah, not that he was taught by his master or that he went to Bet Sefer. Ki ka amrinan de kanahig be minhag banim. When we say in the Mishnah that it's proof that he's a Kohen, if he's saying that he remembers him coming back from Bet Sefer to the mikveh, that's in a case where the kanahig be minhag banim, where he treats him with the treatment typical of children, not of slaves, and he sends him to Bet Sefer. Really, the Eved did not go to the Bet Sefer. The Adon is not supposed to teach Torah to his Eved. This that we see that it's possible that he was able, that Eved is able to read his own aliyah, could be that he learned it on his own. But to send to Bet Sefer, that's only minhag banim. That's the treatment that is to children, not to his slaves. And therefore, his testimony in this case is proof that this person is a Kohen. And the Gemara clarifies further over here, litbo le'echol bitumah, when the Mishnah says that he's ne'eman to testify that he remembers he would go to the mikveh to eat Tumah, and therefore he's testifying that he's a Kohen. Bitumah de Rabbanan. The Chachamim allow him only to eat Tumah, which is the Rabbanan. Tumah de Oraita, he's not allowed to eat Tumah based on the ne'emanut of the testimony of him remembering when he was a katan. So it's only enough to allow the person, based on these words, to eat Tumah d'Rabbanan, but not Tumah, which is on the level of Deoraita. V'shehaya cholek imanu al agoren. The next case in the Mishnah, he testifies, I remember that he would distribute Tumah to us al hagoren, by the threshing floor in the field. So v'dilma evet kohen hu. So the Gemara says, how do you know that that's proof that he's a Kohen based on that? Maybe he's an Eved of a Kohen who's allowed to eat Tumah, and that's why he received his portion in the Goren. So the Gemara says, Tanan, our Mishnah, keman de'amar, en cholkim Tumah le'Eved, ela im ken rabo imo. Our Mishnah is going according to the opinion that says that you're not allowed to distribute Tumah to an Eved unless his master is right there. So therefore, being that his master was it was not there. There's no evidence that he's saying that he received it in front of any kind of master. Mashma, we're talking about a regular Kohen who received Truma in the Goren. Detanya, as we learned in a Braita, En cholkim Truma le'eved ela imken rabo imo divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We do not give Truma to an Eved unless his master is there, so that people will understand that this Eved is receiving Truma is not because he himself is a Kohen, but he's an Eved. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Yachol hu sheyomar im kohen ani tenuli bishvil atzmi veim eved kohen ani tenuli bishvil rabbi. Rabbi Yossi says that in a case where you have someone who's a safek of an eved, safek kohen, there's a doubt if he's an eved or a kohen, so he can say im kohen ani, if I'm a kohen, give me for my own merit, because of my own merit. Ve'im eved kohen ani, and on the side that I am an eved, tenuli bishvil rabbi, then give me truma for the by virtue of my master. So that is the braita that tells us the machloket between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Bimkomo, now the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is based on the fact that bimkomo shel Rabbi Yehuda yu ma'alim mitruma liyuchasin. In the place of Rabbi Yehuda, they would elevate a person who eats truma to the status of kehuna for the purpose of yichus, of marriage. And therefore, he allowed giving truma to an eved of a kohen only if the master is there, because of a concern that if we were to give him truma directly, he would be elevated to kehuna himself. That's why Rabbi Yehuda was more machmir, because in his place, it would make a difference. When you saw someone receive truma, they would immediately elevate him to the status of yichus of a kohen. In the place of Rabbi Yossi, they would not elevate a person just because he ate truma to the status of kehuna. That's why he allowed giving truma directly to the eved of a kohen, since there's no concern that this person would be mistaken for a kohen. Okay, Tanya, we learned in a braita. Amar Rabbi Lazar bar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Lazar bar Rabbi Yossi says, "Miyamai lo he'ati. In all my days, I never had an opportunity to testify in the bedin. Pam achat he'adeti ve'he'elu eved lekeuna alpi. One time I testified, and the bedin elevated an eved to kehuna on the basis of my testimony." The Gemara immediately asks, "He'elu salkatatach? Is that possible that they actually elevated the eved to the status of kehuna based on a testimony of Rabbi Lazar bar Rabbi Yossi? Hashta uma behem tam shel tzadikim ena kadosh baruch hu mevi takala al yadam tzadikim atzmam lo kol sheken. If even the animals of the tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not cause them to stumble because of the fact that they belong to a tzaddik, as the Gemara tells us in Masechet Chulin about the story of Chamoro shel Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, the donkey of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair would never eat food, even on his own, food that was not me'usar, that turmot u'masrot was not removed from. So that, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bring a takala, a stumbling block, even on the behema of the tzaddik, through the tzaddik himself, of course, surely, all the more so, Hashem is not going to cause a stumbling block on the account of a tzaddik. So how could it be that because of the tzaddik, Rabbi Lazar bar Rabbi Yossi, who testified mistakenly, they brought up, they elevated a eved to kehuna? Ela, rather, you have to amend the words here. Bikshu le'alot eved lekehuna alpi. Rabbi Lazar bar Rabbi Yossi said they were about to, they thought to elevate a eved to kehuna on the basis of my testimony, but ultimately they didn't. Chaza be'atre de Rabbi Yossi, ve'azal ve'azhid be'atre de Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara explains what was the case here. Rabbi Lazar bar Rabbi Yossi, chaza be'atre de Rabbi Yossi. He saw truma being given directly to this person, who turned out to be the eved of a kohen, and he saw this take place in the city of Rabbi Yossi, where a person does not elevate, like we said before, does not elevate a person from just from the fact that he ate truma, elevate him to kehuna. But Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi went ahead and testified about what he saw in the city of Rabbi Yehuda, where they do elevate a person from just the fact that he ate Tumah, they elevate him to Kehuna. So they were about to do so, but ultimately it didn't happen, because En HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevita Kala Lidei Tzadikim. The Mishnah continued and gave us another case, V'she'amakom Azeh Bet HaPras Hu. He testifies that he remembers that this place is a Bet HaPras. My Tama, what's the reason that he is Ne'eman to testify in this regard to what he saw when he was a Katan? Because the Gemara says, Bet HaPras Derabanan, the Tum'ah status of a Bet HaPras is only Midrabanan. The Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, as Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Menapeach Adam Bet HaPras Ve'olech. A person who's passing through a Bet HaPras is allowed to blow, as he walks, he's allowed to blow on the ground before taking each step, so that if there is any bone that is beneath the soil of the ground, he will expose it, he'll uncover it, he'll avoid it, and he will continue. So that's what Shmuel says, a person is allowed to go there. V'Rav Yehuda bar Ameh mishmed Rav Yehuda Amar, and Rav Yehuda bar Ameh said in the name of Rav Yehuda, Bet HaPeras Shenidash Tahor, a Bet HaPeras that has been stepped upon, walked upon by many people, trampled upon and creating a path there, is Tahor. Why is the Bet HaPeras Tahor? Just because it was Nidash, it was already trampled upon by people. My Tama, because it's impossible for a bone the size of a seora, of a grain of barley, which if it was there, it would lead to tum'ah. That's the size, that's the minimum size of a piece of a corpse, of a dead body, that brings about tum'ah. It's impossible for a bone that size not to have been trampled upon underfoot and made smaller. Meaning, by the time, so many people already walk there, and so if there was any small chip of a bone the size of an etzem kaseura, it surely became minimized by now, and therefore the Bet HaPeras Shenidash is Tahor. So from this leniency that we see here, we see that the Tum'ah of Bet HaPeras to begin with is only Derabanan, and therefore they are also, Rabbanan are allowed to tell us that we believe the testimony of someone who remembers when he was a Katan in regards to if this place is a Bet HaPeras or not. The next case in the Mishnah was, Ve'ad kan ha'inu ba'im b'Shabbat. He testifies, I remember that till here we would walk on Shabbat. Kasavar tchumim d'rabanan. That's because our Tana of the Mishnah holds that the tchumim, the Shabbat boundaries, beyond which a person is not allowed to go outside the city on Shabbat, is a din that is only midrabanan, and therefore, since it's midrabanan, they held that even a gadol who is testifying what he remembers as a katan is ne'eman to say so. The Mishnah continued and said, "Ve'en ne'eman lomar." However, he's not credible to say, "Derech hayali floni b'makom hazeh, ma'amad u'mispeda hayali floni b'makom hazeh." That I know that this person, he had the right of a pathway on this person's land, or I know that this person on this piece of land, he used it to give eulogies and to do ma'amad, the standing up and sitting down in honor of the levaya, of the funeral of a dead person. So he's not ne'eman to say that and testify that therefore it belongs to so and so. My tama, what's the reason he's not ne'eman? Apuke mamona lo mafkinan. We don't take out money from the possession of the muhzak, of the presumptive owner, on the basis of a testimony of a gadol that he remembers when he was a katan. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braita, ne'eman hatino klomar, a child is ne'eman to say when he becomes a gadol, kach amar li abba, I remember when I was a katan, my father told me, Mishpacha zo tehora, mishpacha zo teme'a. This family is pure, this family is impure. The Gemara says, tehora utme'a sal kadatach. Really? Do you think that his father said, tehora utme'a? What does that have to do with regard to the family? What's the shayachut between tumavit tahara to a family? You want to say on something or on a person, tame or taho? What do you mean mishpacha? Ela, rather, we amend the lashon here. Mishpacha zo keshera u mishpacha zo pesula. He remembers that his father said to him, "This family is kasher, meaning has no flaws in its yichus. They're allowed to marry into kehuna, and this family is pasul, meaning they're not allowed to marry into kehuna." And the Braita continues and says, "V'she'achalnu biktzatza shel bat peloni lifloni." And I remember that we ate by the ktzatza of the wedding of Bat Peloni, the daughter of so-and-so, to Ploni, to so-and-so. Now what that means and why that makes a difference for anything, we'll see soon. We're just continuing in the Braita first. V'she'ayinu morichim chala u'matanot lifloni kohen. And also he's ne'eman to say that we would bring chala and the gifts of kohanim to so-and-so who is a kohen. So the Gemara says, al yede atzmo, avalo al yede acher. He is ne'eman to testify that he brought the challah by himself, but not by means of another person. Which means, one can be certain about things that he performed himself, even if he was a katan, but he's not ne'eman to testify about actions that are performed by others when he was a katan. So only if he's saying that Shayinu Morichim al yedei atzmo, that he was part of it, that he would go and give chala in matanot keuna to so and so who is a kohen. V'chulan imaya goy venitgayer eved venishtacher en ne'emanim. Now the Braita continues and says regarding all these testimonies, if we're talking about a person who was a goy in the beginning and then he converted, or if he was a eved in the beginning and then he was liberated, he's not ne'eman to testify, he's not believed to testify after his conversion or after the liberation about matters that happened beforehand when they were disqualified as edim, they were psule edut. Then they are not ne'eman. It's only by the gadol telling us what he remembers as a katan, but not a goy who was mitgayer or a eved who was mishtacher. Ve'en ne'eman lomar, and the Braita ends off by saying, and the gadol is not ne'eman to say that when he was a katan, derech hayali ploni b'makom hazeh, ma'amad u'mispeh hayali ploni b'makom hazeh, like our Mishnah says, that he's not ne'eman in these cases, which is to take out money from someone or to take out the piece of land from someone, that he's not ne'eman. Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka omer ne'emanim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka says they are ne'eman. Now the Gemara immediately wants to clarify, Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka aheya. On which part is Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka going? If he's going on the end, the last case of testifying that he remembers that this land belongs to so-and-so, how could he say that they are ne'eman? This is taking out money from someone's chazakah, from someone's hold. You're using someone's testimony of what he remembers when he's a katan to do that? That doesn't make sense. Ela aresha. Rather, he's going on the earlier part of the Braita, where it said, "V'chulam." In all these cases, imaya goy v'nitgayer, eved v'nishtacher, en ne'emanim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka omer ne'emanim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka holds even a ger who is testifying what he remembers as a goy, or a free person who is testifying what he remembers when he was as a eved, he is ne'eman. So, b'maika mifligi, what's the reason for the machloket? Why Tanakama says they are not ne'eman, Rabbi Yochanan Beroka says they are? Tanakama savar, Tanakama holds kevan de goyhu lahavadaik. Since he was oved kochavim, he was a goy, so he was not exact in checking the matter, because it was irrelevant to him. Rabbi Yochanan Beroka savar, kevan de da'ate le'igyure medakavadaik. Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka says, no, but since his intention was to convert, so he took interest in Yahadut, and therefore he was careful in scrutinizing the matter, and he's ne'eman. Now the Gemara goes back to explain, my ktzatza. What does it mean, the case? I remember that we were eating in the ktzatza by the wedding of Bat Peloni, Lifloni. The Tanu Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, we learned in a Braita, ketzad ktzatza, what is a ktzatza? This is something that is done in the following scenario. Echad min ha'achim shenasa isha she'ena hogenet lo. If let's say one of the brothers in a family who married a woman she'ena hogenet lo, that is unsuited for him, she has a psul in the flaw of the family in regards to kehuna. She has a psul kehuna, and yet he went ahead and he married her. Vayin b'nei mishpacha, so the family members come, u'mevi'im chavit mele'a perot, they bring with them a barrel full of fruits, v'shovrim ota be'emtza rechava, and they break it in the middle of the public square to publicize the matter, v'omrim achenu bet Yisrael shema'u, our brothers, the house of Israel, listen, achinu peloni, nasa isha she'ena hogenet lo. Our brother so-and-so, he married a woman who is not fit for him, who is psula lekeuna. Umitiyarim anu shema itarev zar'o bezar'enu. And we fear that his descendants will be intermingled with our descendants. And we don't want that to happen. We want our yichus of kehuna to stay pure. Bo'u k'hu lachem dugma ledorot. Come and take for yourself a sample as a siman for future generations, shelo yitarev zar'o bezar'enu, so that his descendants will not intermingle with ours. Vezohi ketzatza shatinok ne'eman le'ha'id aleha. This ketzatza is something that we said before, that the child is ne'eman, is credible to testify about it when he becomes a gadol. Hadran alach ha'isha shenitarmela. Tomorrow we will continue and we will begin the third perek of Masechet Ketubot.